Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Luke Morrow and Brandon Scott in for the guys of the drive today. And time in just a moment to play real or fake, as we do at this time every Tuesday around here. You can always text the show 713-572-4610. I did just have to shout out one more text that came in earlier for the worst jerseys ever bought. Someone apparently bought a Donyell Marshall jersey. Donyell was my guy. I grew up in Connecticut, a fan of UConn, and he was one of the first NBA players from UConn. I don't know why you'd ever buy a Donyell Marshall jersey, though, but props to you. I always liked Donyell.
Yeah, we've gotten into changing the question a little bit of from worst to just like deepest cut.
Yeah,
because right. Donyell Marshall wasn't a bad player. That just isn't, to your point, that isn't somebody who, you know, I can't wait to get to the store and buy my Donyell Marshall jersey. Right. I don't know what led you to say that ever.
I don't even know who that guy is.
There you go. Like, and so out. Tyler doesn't even know Donyell Marshall.
And I'm not ashamed to admit that.
It's okay.
Unbelievable.
It's okay.
All right, let's play a little real or fake. I have a series of topics in the sports world. Ask you guys if you think it's real or fake. Are we buying it or selling, I guess, similar idea, right? Real or fake.
Yeah, ultimately.
Jeremy Peña. I saw this the other day. Aaron Judge has the highest WAR in Major League Baseball. Jeremy Peña's number two, not for shortstops in the AL, but of all players in Major League Baseball, statistically, just that one stat, Jeremy Peña is the second most valuable player right now in the league with the way he's playing.
It feels huge.
It does. I don't even know how to phrase this question, though. Are you buying? Is this real? All right, because of the name of the segment, is what Jeremy Peña is, what he's doing so far this year, is that the real Jeremy Peña?
Now, I don't want to take us down a nerd path, but I'm going to. Is this B war or F war? Because, like, I'm a fan graphs guy, not a baseball reference guy. Like, I use baseball reference, just not for war.
Uh-huh.
And so he's not number two by fan graphs. And so just by nature of which nerd stats I prefer, I'm going to say I'm going to call it fake.
You are fake news.
So, but I feel like it's a slight to Jeremy Peña because he's been excellent, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't feel a need to take away from that in any context, not even in this segment, not even for this game that we're playing. So I reluctantly say that it's fake, but credit to Jeremy Peña for even making this a conversation.
Tyler, since you're the Astros guy around here, Jeremy Peña, what we've seen from him so far this year, real or fake?
I'm going real. Woo. I'm going real, man. I mean, we all talked about it before opening day. We needed it. We wanted it. We wanted to see a more consistent, well-rounded 162-game season from Jeremy Peña, and he's doing it. And, I mean, you don't just wake up and win. It was a while back now. You don't just wake up and win, though, an American League, his AL MVP in the CS, and then a World Series MVP. Like, you got talent. We've always seen it. It was just a matter of putting it together. So I'm going absolutely real. The shortstop, Jeremy Peña, and that bat is here to stay.
But to the point, though, the point that Tyler's making, I do think this is important, that ever since he won those awards that Tyler mentioned, we have been waiting on him to tap back into that.
100%.
Like, we have been waiting on the Jeremy Peña that teased us that year, that rookie year, the first year of replacing Carlos Correa. I can even remember we had local news stations, Luke, at the time that were running. They had like running graphics of Correa-Peña comparisons for what Correa was doing in Minnesota and what Peña was doing here. And early on, Peña was outperforming Correa. Now, that soon dissipated, of course. But then by the time you get to the end of it, of course, the Twins aren't a factor anymore at the end of it. And the Astros are. And Peña ended up getting the last laugh. But then ever since then, it has not quite felt the same, of course, until now. So it's a good feeling to at least be in this space again, to my point earlier. Like, even making it a conversation piece is a credit to Jeremy Peña for sure.
I think these next few weeks are big. He's a career 230 hitter in the summer months. We've seen him get off to some of these good starts, and whether it's the dog days or whatever, start to fade a little bit. Last year was batting about 329 at the end of May and then hit 240 the rest of the way. So I'm curious to see if he can continue this, get over that hump these next few weeks. And it's like, okay, maybe this is just the guy now.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, how much just being a leadoff guy, you know, it feels like it's changed something in him. I don't have an exact science on it or explanation for it, but all I can deal with right now is the results, and they're pretty damn good.
Next one, real or fake? Stephon Diggs, we know the issues he's getting into with the Patriots. But when it comes to his time in the Texans, the statement that the Texans' culture is what kept Stephon Diggs on his best behavior last year, would that be real or fake?
I gotta go fake, because
you are fake news.
And it's not a knock on the Texans' culture. It's more of a statement about Stephon Diggs just being more of a singular personality. And I'm not calling him selfish. I'm just saying that I don't think that any team's culture, good or bad, is strong enough to knock Stephon Diggs off his post, if you will. What I'm saying is Stephon Diggs is just going to be Stephon Diggs no matter what. I think if anything kept him on his best behavior was the fact that it was just a redemption year. It was a prove-it type year. They restructured the deal famously or infamously, depending on how you looked at it. They restructured the deal for it to be a one-year deal. And so he was in a de facto contract and prove it season. And I think that more so than the circumstance, more than the culture, is what kept him on his quote unquote best behavior, if you will. So I'm gonna call that fake as well.
Yeah, I'm with you on fake. I think it's more about like these contract years. He started acting out once he got the contract in Minnesota, started acting out once he got the contract in Buffalo. Here in Houston, he was essentially on a one-year deal, going to be a free agent, goes to New England, gets the contract, and now he's seen partying with Cardi B and all that other stuff.
Hey, so. Champ Slice on our YouTube chat says that, from Champ Slice, they said him and Cardi was working on the tush push. I don't know if y'all seen some of those videos of them out there in these streets, but that's a funny comment. Credit to you, Champ Slice. Very, very well done.
That's good. He's got some good ones. 346 said, you see his girl? I'd be acting stupid, too.
Yes. So if I had access to Cardi B, I cannot say that I'd be the exact mature individual that presents to you today.
Yeah.
I don't think I would.
Let's get a third one in here, real or fake, before we go. The Detroit Lions, they lost their offensive coordinator this offseason, defensive coordinator this offseason. Now their center, Frank Ragnow, surprisingly retired this week as well. So you're down your center. The Lions, just simply 2025 Lions after the last two seasons they've had. Do you think the 2025 Lions as a Super Bowl contender, are they real or are they fake?
I think that they're real as a Super Bowl contender. There's still enough talent there to give them enough of the benefit of the doubt. But I don't want to, in saying that it's real, minimize the losses that you just mentioned, because I think those are also real.
Buy the kneecap off.
A big part of why the Lions have been what they have been over the last couple of years is the strength of that offensive line. And I think that that's a huge loss for them. And, of course, the coordinators as well. Like, as much of credit I think that Dan Campbell deserves as a head coach for the job that he's done, I think a big part of the job that he's done is that he did an excellent job, and I mean an excellent job, of hiring coordinators and Ben Johnson and our very own Aaron Glenn, Houston's own, not having those guys anymore, I think is going to matter. Now, he could replace those guys with just as good guy. I don't know what it's going to look like under their new regime for the coordinators respectively, but you got to figure that that's going to factor in a little bit, that they're going to have to make some kind of adjustment not having those guys around anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to say fake about the 2025 Lions. I think it was more about Ben Johnson than it was Dan Campbell. Delivered this take, I don't know if it was on these airwaves or where I was previously, but I think Dan Campbell is one of the bigger frauds in the NFL. Great culture guy, but not like some sort of X's and O's. I think they win in spite of him. I think he makes terrible decisions week in and week out. We've seen that in some of the biggest games. And now you take away Ben Johnson and what he was doing with that offense that really elevated Jared Goff. I think the Lions take a big step back this year.
But you don't think he's good at hiring? Because, like, I just look around at his staff, the coordinators that stand out particularly, but sometimes I think it's there's a strength in knowing what you don't know or being able to compensate for your weaknesses. Because I don't disagree with your points overall about Dan Campbell, but the credit that I'm giving him is being able to identify and compensate for his blind spots.
Yeah, I guess I'll give him some credit there. I give him credit for one aspect that you mentioned there of admitting to what he doesn't know. Like, I like that he's hands off. He let Ben Johnson just run the offense. Ben Johnson did a great job, seemingly. Dan Campbell wasn't overly involved. But he got rid of his offensive coordinator. I think it was it Anthony Lynn, or was that right before him? Anyways, he got rid of his offensive coordinator year one. Ben Johnson was already there, who was a holdover on the staff.
Right.
He elevated it. I almost feel like he lucked into Ben Johnson.
I didn't think about that. That's a good point.
So we'll see now, having to replace these guys. Yeah, your theory or your point will be put to the test this year. Now that he actually had to replace his coordinators, did he make the right hires this time? We'll see. I don't like Johnny Morton, the new offensive coordinator, but we'll see what happens with the Lions. Hey, when we come back, the latest on the Rockets' potential offseason plans. We got B. Scott here. We got to get to a little Rockets. We'll do it next. It's The Drive.
Take your other kneecap.